Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go!
Welcome to the war room. We got Jazz, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to get the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4th of 26, saw the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
War Room Nation, what up? Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, of course, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined at the round table this evening by my homie Jimmy the Blueprint Williams. B. Austin will be with us a little later. We got a great show for you guys today, so let's get right to it. But before we do, make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can get into the conversations as well. And, of course, when we open up the hotline, the Digital Extreme Tech hotline, you can call in and talk to us that way as well. The number is 323-410-0012. We'll let you know when that's open. Before we jump into our rundown, we got to let you guys know, you need to check out our partner shows. That's Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Then you can check the listings for Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio. That's now on the iHeartRadio network. But don't worry if you can't catch them live. You can hear and watch these guys and all of our other partner podcasts and webcasts, because we have several of them, at warroomsports.blogspot.com. And in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. Jimmy, what up?
Yes, sir. Man, you know, I'm chilling, man. I'm in the street like a hooker's feet, man. You know, I'm just out here waiting for one of these kids to try to play a game of knockout so I can send their soul to their Libyan ancestors.
Yeah, man, I watched a couple of those videos, and first of all, you got to run up on somebody that has, like, zero street savvy, unless you're running up on them from behind. But I've seen some where they're walking kind of like face-to-face with somebody, and you just step over there and knock somebody out. I'm like, you got to have a little bit more street savvy than that. Like, if a dude, you know, walked that close to me, then he might get knocked out first, even if he was coming to ask me for a cigarette lighter or something, just because
in the words of the great poet Albert Prodigy Johnson, man, it's all about who sees who first, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But they got to cut that out, though, seriously, man, because they're hitting people that's like, you know, art rappers. They're drawing.
Well, it's going to end badly for one of the kids one day, because, first of all, they're going to hit the wrong person, and they're not going to hit this person hard enough. So if they don't get the knockout and this person get to reach for what they got to reach for, then it's going to be over for one of these morons in the street. So.
Or how about this? It's going to be one of those things where before they even get to do something, and they may not even be thinking about doing something, somebody going to pull off on them Zimmerman style and use that as a defense. Like, yo, they out here, you know, playing knockout.
Then we're going to have a whole new law in order like this. Yeah.
They're trying to bring stand your ground everywhere else. That's what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, you know, since you know, we're here chilling, you know, I don't know where, you know, be awesome to be with us in a few minutes. Let us know what happened this week while everybody was on the ground, bro.
Absolutely, man. This segment of our show is you know, changing its complexion. Like I always say, it used to be what happened while you were on the grind. Now we should just rename it to, like, what's crazy out there while you were on the grind, because sports news is, like, out of control right now.
Name it World Star.
Yeah, we're going to name it. Let's see if we can get a World Star sponsorship for this segment on our show, man. This is what it's down to, man. And by the way, for those who are listening maybe for the first time on the podcast or live, While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, which includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, just go to warroomsports.com, look for that DirecTV logo, click that link, and that will get you the hookup. You got to get the DirecTV, man. If you're a sports fan. If you listen to this and you're a sports fan, get the DirecTV, man. Anyway.
Stop playing.
Let's start with the craziness, man. And the first story I want to talk about is
more knockout.
Salem quarterback. They're playing knockout out here, man. The CIAA event, Winston-Salem and Virginia State were supposed to play. So Winston-Salem State's quarterback, Rudy Johnson, was injured during a fight. Now, obviously, Virginia State, what they're saying and what Winston-Salem's saying are like, you know, different versions
different
of the story.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, the one thing we do know is that dude got injured. And he got left, you know, he got his meat lump. In the words of Oquan.
He's rolling with
he got
Trump.
His meat lump. So Virginia State is now ineligible for postseason play. They canceled the championship game. I mean, it's just like a disgrace. It's embarrassing to both schools. I can only imagine what they're going through in the offices. But
right.
What is your opinion of this story, man?
Man, the crazy thing was this event was like it was a luncheon for the championship game they were supposed to play the next day. So, like you said, there's two different versions of the story. The kid from Winston-Salem State says that five Virginia State players whooped his ass in the bathroom. Now, you know, that could be true, but the other side, Virginia State, is saying it was just running back Lamont Britt, who went upside his head. Now, you know, either of the sides could be lying. You know, they could be saying that they didn't dip on them because they don't want to look like punks because it's 5-on-1. But then the quarterback could be lying because he don't want to look like a punk because he let one dude, you know, lump his meat like that. But it's just a crazy situation. I mean, because they canceled the game, so there will be no champion in the CIAA for football this season. And shout out to my in-laws because both of them went to Virginia State back in the day. I got to, you know, ask them at Thanksgiving next week, is this the kind of thugs y'all raising? Over at Virginia State. So shout out to them.
My mom went to Virginia State, although she left and came back to Temple in Philly, but she did go to Virginia State. And also shout out to Brent Easley, who went to Virginia State. Y'all school is embarrassing, yo. So everybody I know from Virginia State, man, y'all got to get it together, man. Y'all can't be doing this, man. You know, come on. Man.
I mean, so they know they're going to lose, so they try to go outside the quarterback head. Like, come on.
We supposed to be brothers, man. You know what I mean? Libyan brothers out there acting all crazy. Anyway, let's get to a crazy story.
He was driving the high sign. I had to get him. But.
Yo, if you're not catching all these movie references, yo, just kill yourself, yo. Anyway, listen, here's another story for you. Girls high school coach was accused of biting one of his players. A longtime girls high school basketball coach in Mississippi, MISSISSIPPI, he resigned on Monday. According to police, he bit one of his players' faces during a timeout in a game earlier this month. Now, the guy's name is Doyle Wolverton. Yeah, Wolverton. Who reportedly, he's a second all-time with 1,245 girls basketball wins. So he's been there forever, been there since 1975. But I don't think he ever meant to get famous by biting one of his players. Crazy
That's
story.
That's funny.
Like,
until you say that, like, I was confused whether this was a man or a woman. I mean, I know the name Doyle is more like a man, but the story that I read, it really doesn't, you know, say. It's the language is very broad, but
I saw pictures,
so.
But then again, even with pictures these days, you can't tell no more. It's 2013. You can't tell who's who.
I mean, yeah, they're all named Doyle, so it probably was a dude, but. Yo, this is the type of stuff, man, like Jimmy said before we started this segment, like, this segment has gone awry. This is the type of stuff you cannot make up. This person bit one of their players' faces in the huddle, grabbed her shoulder, and bit her face in disgust, but this person's name is Wolverton. Wolverton. Like, Wolverton and you biting people, you can't make this stuff up. Like, come on, man. Seriously? Remember, we had the conversation a long time ago about basketball players and who we would take, and we talked about Teen Wolf and all that. But, like, how ironic is it that this person's name is Wolverton and they out there biting people on the basketball court? I don't have anything but that. It's just the irony for me. It's crazy, and he's probably going to get, you know, punished severely, but I'm just tripping off the last name.
out of control, man. Like I said, these stories just get crazier and crazier. I mean, the thing is, it could be the situation where these stories have always been crazy and crazy. It's just the fact that we have access to so much media and information just travels so fast. But, yo, there's no hope for the human race. That's how I look at it, y'all.
Is that JoJo?
Now.
That got to be. At least for now until something else takes it. We might run into something later. That got to be JoJo.
Yeah, what you think? You think that's JoJo? I mean, you're biting a player, man. My thing is this, though. What do you expect to happen after you bite the player? You're supposed to, like, kick in and be like, oh, okay. I get what you were saying.
Don't be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Can you imagine that being
right
Greg,
now,
man? Like, double? And then just bite your cheek.
Yeah, like, what is that going to make you do? Like, okay, I see what you were saying now that you bit me in the face.
Yeah, we would play anyway, knockout,
man.
That day.
Yo, here's a story for you. It's kind of funny. A baby was born in Wisconsin, close to Lambeau Field, with a broken collarbone. So a Green Bay couple gave birth to a healthy 8-pound baby boy. This happened on Sunday. And he had a broken collarbone. So once they saw he had a broken collarbone, they said, we have to name him after Aaron Rodgers. Who's out right now with the broken collarbone? So the little guy's name is Aaron Roger Dreyer. You know, Stanley worship is at an all-time high, but I thought this was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And kind of cool.
No, it's definitely funny. For me, though, I'm like, this is Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm like, what were the odds that this kid was already going to be named Aaron Rodgers, you know, and anyway. So,
which
I
is
mean,
true.
You know how they
there's
are.
A lot of Brett
because there's probably so many
around.
Bretts walking around that, yeah, like, this kid probably was going to be named Aaron anyway, and this just added to the story. So they have a legendary story to tell for the rest of their lives. But, you know, speaking of broken collarbones, like, I've seen a baby being born live. Mm-hmm. I wonder why this doesn't happen a lot. That's not a very big canal that they're crawling out of, and I wonder how much this actually happens, because the parents don't really seem that fazed by it. You know, they in the papers and kind of making a joke out of it, so it must be something that the doctor said, oh, don't worry about that, that happens all the time. So
yeah,
congratulations,
I mean,
to them, a little Aaron Roger. But
and that's the thing, man. Like, I remember reading the story before about when Kobe Bryant came into the NBA, and how across the country there was like a huge influx of kids being born named Kobe, spelled K-O-B, K-O-B-E. They said that a lot of them before were like C-O-L-B-Y, but, you know, so this happens a lot. I mean, memes become popular, but that is kind of funny.
Yeah, I see a lot of little kids named Devin running around these days too. But.
I mean, that may be for, never mind. Yo, I wonder when they break their collarbone, like, you know, why can't they just do, like, on Lethal Weapon and just, like, hit it back into place, you know what I'm saying? Word to Riggs and Murtaugh. But anyway, man, that was a funny story. How about this story here? I saw this in the rundown. I was like, I wonder what Dev's putting the story up. Then I realized why. Well, the top five vegetarian-friendly stadiums in the NFL were announced by PETA. So let's start with number five.
We got to go five. I was about to say, we got to go five to one. The whole
number
list
five,
is surprising, but number one is crazy.
Yeah. A Qualcomm Stadium for the San Diego Chargers. They have an innovative vegan take on lox and bagels. they have a vegan chocolate chip cookie. So, of course, they made the list. Yeah. Number four.
I don't know if four. I'm surprised about that one, because the California people, they seem like they live that lifestyle a lot. So I'm not surprised
this
by that
one. Shocked me. Number four on the list.
You know what? This
Detroit
one doesn't shock
Lions
me, but after you read it, I'll let you know why.
I think I know where you're going to go with this one. they have vegan barbecue sandwiches and veggie and tofu flatbreads. Considering it is Detroit and there's only like three people that live in the area, they're going to be in the suburbs of Detroit. That kind of shocked me. They will be up there, other than the fact that they probably can't eat anything but what they grow.
I'm not shocked because it's Detroit. They probably can't afford to put meat at the stadium. Like,
yeah, I knew he was about to say that. Yeah.
Shout
yeah,
out again to my mother-in-law. She's from Detroit. She's gonna kill me after this.
Damn, slandering the in-laws all night.
But Shout out to Detroit, but, you know, they probably got to go that way for a reason. Like, man, we can't afford to put no meat in here. Or nobody going to buy it if we do.
I mean, can't nobody afford to buy it. Yeah, they can't buy afford that.
Yeah. They smuggling food right, into the game.
How about this one right here? Well, number three, the Oakland Coliseum, Oakland Raiders. Another California place, so, you know, you're probably not shocked
at
that.
Plus, they're close to San Francisco, so, you know, the lifestyle over there is kind of soft. You know, so I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised by that, even though, you know, the way they dress up and act tough in the Coliseum, you know, you would think, you know, like,
yeah,
look
like
at these tough dudes over here eating tofu sandwiches
and everything on. Yeah. You're looking like Mad Max, and you're not a carnivore. It's kind of crazy, right?
You're over there eating a tomato. You coward.
They have a vegan chocolate fondue there. You know, so that's your big thing. All
tough.
Right.
They're not tough.
Number two.
This
Arrowhead
one's surprising.
Stadium, Kansas City Chiefs. This is surprising because KC is known for barbecue.
Yeah. Barbecue.
You know, it's crazy.
We got
they
KC
have
Mac in the chat room,
burger.
As a matter of fact. KC Mac, let us know in the chat room how surprised you are that Arrowhead Stadium and barbecue love in Kansas City is on the top five vegetarian-friendly NFL stadium list at number two.
So
let us know how
surprised
you are.
Shout out to KC Mac, because before the Broncos-Chiefs game, he hit me on Twitter talking trash, and I didn't even say anything. So what I did was I harassed him for the rest of the night. Soon as I said nothing, I was atting him all night. But anyway, shout out to him for talking trash beforehand. So at least I can say that, you know, he didn't wait. He started talking trash when it was 0-0. But anyway,
tell these people who the number one veggie-friendly stadium is.
Vegetable pasta salad. Now,
this
number
crazy.
Number one has vegan options such as fake steak sandwiches, veggie dogs, veggie tacos, veggie hoagies and wraps. It's none other.
Veggie water ice.
Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia.
Get
the
off, got it.
Yeah, like,
yo.
And the crowd goes. Yeah,
yo, this is Philadelphia, the city that was, like, rated, like the fattest city in the nation. You know what I'm saying? If you look at us guys from the war room, you'll see that we're right along what we're
Absolutely.
Supposed to be. The home of the cheesesteak, which when they show Eagles games on Sunday night, Monday night, and they go, you know, to the local restaurants or they go to the stadium, all you see is people flipping this nasty meat all over the place. Pause.
No. It's definitely crazy, man. As soon as you see that,
The home of the hoagie, the home of the soft pretzel, the home of tasty cakes, the home of water ice, and whatever other junk you can figure out, has the number one veggie-friendly stadium in the country. Come on, man. Come on. Like,
that was interesting.
They also said they had the most vegetarian-friendly city for sports fans, period. They said because earlier this year, you know, the Philly Stadium grabbed the top spot in the major league rankings, and the Wells Fargo Center was number three on the list of NBA arenas. So I'm like, yo, what are they doing? And this list, by the way, is made by PETA. So
yes, it is. And here's something else I just want to put out there, right? Because I was a vegetarian for about a good 8 months, and just because you're eating vegetarian for one doesn't mean you're eating healthy. So let's just put that out there.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of great vegetarian places in Philadelphia, but still fatty foods. But it's just
stadium.
You're not killing the animals. That's all.
Look,
so you know, shot to keep the animals alive. We're gonna keep the animals alive, man. But
I drove up to Philly last week when we had to go to that school and talk to the babies, and you know, I had to get a cheesesteak before I left. So you know,
shout out to
the vegetarians and
the
vegans. Like, I admire what you do, but it's just not possible. Jimmy was a vegetarian for 8 months. I probably was a vegetarian for, like, 8 minutes one time because I just,
I had
the crib with vegetables.
People say, how'd you do with that? Like, yo, my doctor told me to stop. He said, yo, what you doing now? I'm eating cheese. I'm like, look, I didn't say vegan. I said vegetarian, so I'm not eating meat, but I'm filling up with cheese and pasta now. Give me pasta and cheese, but I ain't killing no animals.
We still ain't killing no animals and no babies. No old folks.
Yeah, no animals, no babies. But anyway, man, that's what happened while you were on the grind. We got some birthday shout-outs to give, Beth.
No doubt. Let's get to these birthdays real quick. What up, B. Austin? What's going on, bro?
Man, just trying to live a healthy life as a pescatarian.
Yeah, man. I'm a polio pescatarian right now. You understand? No red meat and all that. B. Austin, you're cool, though? We heard you. We heard somebody hit you in a game of knockout in D.C. or something, man.
Yeah, they swung, and what happened was he broke his hand, and I had pity on him, so I took him to the hospital, and I gave him a War Room sports card, and I said I could probably send you to God to stop by the studio and I could get a job.
You already know.
It was what it was, helping the babies, man. It's not his fault. He ain't had no dad.
Well, I hope you're there when he come by, because if I see him, I'm going to tell him to go get his shine box. Birthdays, of course, brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates for the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, lower extremities. That could be anything from sprains, strains, breaks to stanky-ass feet, really. She does. She handles stinky feet. We were amazed when she told us. If your feet stink, seriously, call Dr. Monique Roll. Even if your feet
should be touching people's
feet. If your
feet
stink, or if your feet are just ugly, they do everything. So visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. They're treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and beyond. So, you know, don't hesitate to call if you're beyond, because it's possible. Visit AlexandriaPodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700 and tell them War Room Sports sent you. What's up, Jim?
I was going to say, before you start getting into the birthday shout-outs, we just got a message on Facebook from Get With It Sports. So shout-out to them. You know, go check them out at Get With It Sports. But he says, Philly has the top veggie stadium in the country. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
That's why the teams ain't good.
He said that's
they're coming up, man. Yo, Chip Kelly must have did this with the smoothies and all that stuff. All right, so celebrating birthdays today.
Birthday, yay!
The Samoan Mike Tyson, David Tua turns 41. Michael Strahan, now of whatever it's called,
Kelly and Michael.
I was about to say something about Regis, but what is it called? Morning or hello or?
I'm in the Lex watching Kathy Lee and Regis.
Yeah, the morning show that he's on now. Season. Michael Strahan is doing big things now. He turns 42. Once was on the path. Considered to be on the path of being the greatest baseball player ever, it just didn't happen. Ken Griffey Jr. turns 44.
One of the best pair of Nikes ever, yo.
Antonio Tarver, a.k.a. Mason the Line Dixon, turns 45 today. Troy CTE Aikman. I ain't going to joke about that. Troy, he knocked his head around a little too much. Troy Aikman turns 47. And Earl the Pearl. Now, the Pearl wasn't his original name, but, you know, like they said in,
Black
he
Jesus.
Got, and he, yeah, and he, well, like they said, and he got game, like, you know, they couldn't just let a black man have a nickname Jesus, so they had to put Black Jesus on it.
Black
but
Jesus,
Earl the Pearl,
Pearl,
Black Jesus Monroe from the streets of Philadelphia turned 69 today. So,
He was repping the city before we start having vegan meals out this job.
Yo, he was so nice that when you spun on a cat on the way to the basket, you looked to the sideline and said, I pearled on him.
Yo, that's a true story.
True story.
I pearled on that dude. All right, but we like true to story. Give all these gentlemen a nice big War Room salute on their birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
And real quick, we just want to let you guys know that you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're on the website, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. You'll only get one email per week. Very informative. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. We do have those. You guys hear us read, you know, the segments being sponsored by different companies, different people every week. Get in the program if you got a small business, if you got a large business, do what you got to do. We're reaching a whole lot of people on a weekly basis. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com while you're browsing the site. Click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Christmas is coming up if you celebrate. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles on the All's Fair in Sports and More blog. We'll have something coming out tomorrow from our fitness guru, Maggie Mangiel, about how not to gain a whole bunch of weight next week during the holidays. And then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, and to watch our videos and webcasts at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Reddit, on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. It's not my problem. Do what you want to do. But while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show like we do every week. So to call in and speak with us, and the Digital Extreme hotline is open right now. You can call that at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Jimmy, I hear you. I don't know if I'm going to be paying too much attention to, you know, we're going to spread the gospel, but I don't know how much I'm going to follow Maggie's blog that's dropping tomorrow.
I'm a pearl on
about
them.
About Thanksgiving. But guess what? We're going to be on air Thanksgiving, y'all, so y'all can listen to us while y'all bust grub.
Yeah,
or,
that's what
know,
I'm about
to
y'all going to hear me smacking on the air. I'm going to be on the radio. So
I'm going to be pearling on you dudes.
Yo, man.
Pearling on.
You're going to be pearl necklacing on what?
We got some hot topics to get into,
pearl
man.
Pearl necklacing on the chicks? No, I ain't saying pearl necklacing on.
We got the babies listening, man. All right.
I know, man. So, what's wrong with this dude, man? Listen, though. We got some hot topics to talk about, man. And those hot topics are brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Don't forget, audibletrial.com/warroomsports. And in no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free. Right now, I am listening to the greatest book I've read in the last 10 years. By the way, and for those who think I'm exaggerating, I read constantly. Put it like this. Just this past year, in 2013, I've read 37 books, and we're what, in November? So I've read 37 books, and you can go to Goodreads and see the list of the books I've read this year because I keep a list. But I've read 37 books, and this book I'm reading right now is the best out of all of them because it's sad, it makes you laugh, yo, it's deplorable, it's nasty, but it's also funny, and it's the Mike Tyson biography, yo. I don't know if you gentlemen had a chance to see, like, his show on HBO.
Not yet.
But, yo, it's that time 1,000. Yo, the story
Damn,
that
Jimmy.
Mike tells, yo.
37 books, though?
Oh, 37
yo,
books. I mean,
yo,
Jimmy,
I want to tell you that, brother, you pearling on him with your read game.
Yo, he's gonna
yo
make I've read. We got to add this to the glossary right now. We pearling on him. No, but I'm saying,
I've read
this all the time. See,
yo, I've read a third of a book. Because I still haven't finished. Yo, I still haven't finished that long-ass ESPN book. Besides, you know, that's the only real book that I've been reading this year.
I
always say, I only read on flights, so I never really get to finish the book.
Let's keep it a beat. One of the reasons I'm able to read so much is because I have Audible. So Audible accounts for like 20 of the books right there. Now, the other ones I did read like on the Kindle because I don't have any physical books. But 20 of those books come from having Audible. See, there's two apps that everybody has to have. That's Audible and War Room Sports. And here's why. When you're at work and your boss is getting on your nerves, you know, you can sit there and you can do work and you can listen to audio books or you can listen to the War Room podcast. So you got to have those two apps. You got to have Audible. You got to have War Room Sports because we are in both, you know, the Play Store on Google and we're in the Apple Store, you know, so go get the War Room Sports app even though we're talking about Audible. But anyway, yo, this Mike Tyson book is amazing.
I've read a lot of books this year, but I've read several of them multiple times, like Dumbo, Three Bears, Goldilocks.
Yeah, see, that's what you're going to right now. You're reading books to the youth. You're trying to, you know what I mean, raise them right.
Jack and the Beanstalk. You know, I read those books every night. But
yo, believe
you know,
it or not,
as
Audible
my own personal reading
books on Audible, yo.
I know.
That's lazy parenting, though, ain't it?
I'm like, look, daddy got to go do something. So just listen to this and go to sleep. But
yo,
all
the
right,
crazy
man.
Part is right. The crazy part. Last thing I want to say about this, Dad. The crazy part is like because you know Audible is an Amazon affiliate company, so they have it where you can buy the Kindle and the audio book, and you can literally turn the page as someone's reading to you, so you can do both at the same time, and they give you.
Yeah,
like,
the thing is, he already knows how to work the Kindle because that's where all his you know little learning games and stuff is on. So. You know, about a week of showing him how to get to the books, he could just open it up and have him read to himself and go to sleep.
Yo, that Tyson book, yo, put it like this. I'm going to give you
– He might click on that by mistake, though, Jim.
Listen, I'm not giving you guys any spoilers, but let me put it to you like this. Mike Tyson doesn't know what TMI means. So within the first two pages of the book, he explains why there's no way that he could have raped a woman because he gave her cunnilingus for 20 minutes. Right? So
– yo.
So that's within the first two pages of the book. So when you start a book like that,
Dad,
crazy.
Yo, Mike Tyson was pearling on him.
Yo, just imagine how crazy the book is. The book is way worse than that, but that's how it starts. So let's just move on.
I don't want him to learn, you know, click on that book by mistake and hear like.
I won't talk nice to you and talk about fornicating with you and letting you suck my dick because if I was eloquent with you, you would still look at me as a scumbag.
All right, man. So we got some hot topics, man. The Detroit Tigers have officially given up on, you know, their whole dynamic lineup thing. They traded Prince Fielder to the Rangers for Ian Kinsler and cash consideration. So since Prince Fielder is still owed what $168 million on his contract, they're sending $30 million over there with the Rangers. So the Rangers are on the hook for $138 million of it. So,
I just want to say right now, pertaining to this story, and hopefully people are listening to me, especially you folks with kids. I missed out in life because if you notice, baseball is the only sport where fat men get nine-figure deals. Not football,
right now.
Not football. Not linemen. Yo, Cecil Fielder's son is a great 275 to 280, and he's about 5'9". And he gets that chicken. He is not a vegetarian, and with that contract, he is pearling on him. Go ahead, Dad.
Hold up, though. Wasn't he a vegetarian at one point? I remember that was like a big story, that he was a vegetarian, and people was like, no, you're not. And he was like, yes, I am.
Yo, again, this contract is too diesel to be, for him to be a vegetarian. Yo, he eating good, man. He pearling on him. Go ahead, man.
Right, so Detroit, like Kinsler, is still guaranteed $62 million over the next four seasons. That includes a $5 million buyout. You're not a baseball head.
How are they getting these money? How are they getting these money?
But this season, Fielder, he hit .279, 25 home runs, 106 RBI. He's going to be a Ranger, so... I think it's a good move for the Texas Rangers. Probably a good move for both, but it seems like it's a little less protection in the lineup for Cabrera. But, you know, Kinsler's not a slouch by any means. He's just not an RBI machine like Fielder, but and you know, not a power hitter, but
I mean I think it'll be a good move. You know, Roy, who's a huge baseball fan, is saying, yay, he likes the move. So we'll see what happens. But it's funny, though, getting back to Bielsa's point, because, like, baseball players, like, football players try to keep up with baseball players sometimes. They like, eating on two different levels, yo. They eating on two different levels. And it's funny because sometimes you'll see football players talk about that and, you know.
I made a mistake with my athletic career.
Yeah, I've seen them say that, like, yo, these dudes make money. And baseball players do make money, and they don't have CTE. But anyway.
Exactly. Yo, but – How about your boy A-Rod? Like
A-Roy?
He walked out of his, like, he got up, kicked the chair, slammed his hands on the table, kicked the briefcase, and walked out of his his hearing. What was the hearing yesterday that he was a part of? It was a grievance hearing, but he was upset that Bud Selig wasn't there
for the hearing. And then today he was a no-show at his arbitration hearing, you know, because they're waiting on, they're trying to give him his punishment for the latest accusations. And, you know, he went straight to a New York radio station and he was saying, you know, if they're going to be, you know, giving me my fate, this is my legacy, you know, they're messing with my legacy, and he doesn't even have the decency to show up and this and that. He also said, I have to, you know, tell my daughters why, you know, I might not be playing baseball and this and that. I'm like, is there anybody out there who's sympathetic with A-Rod right now? Because,
I wonder
not,
that,
you know, not only do you keep getting caught cheating, but then, you know, I'm like, your daughters are cool. Like, you got a, like a $200 million contract. They're cool.
Twice.
Like, I don't get it. Like, I was kind of thrown
know,
off by
know,
that.
Like, I don't know whether he was told to do this. Like, I was thinking, like, whose playbook is this? It's definitely Olivia Pope. But because he's not a sympathetic figure in the world of sports, he hasn't been for years. So I don't understand what he was trying to accomplish. I did see some people coming at Bud Selig, so I guess with some people,
yo,
good, but for the most part, I don't think anyone really
with those people. That's like the lesser. They have to choose between the lesser.
Yeah,
two
that, yeah, that's lesser two.
Because both of those,
yeah,
guys are hated by a lot of baseball,
yeah,
fans. So.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely does not have the new age Sally Hemings advising him at all, because the moves that he makes that are in the public eye are almost all, they'll all leave you with a quizzical and puzzled look on your face. Like, you don't understand what he's doing, and this is just the first of many, because it's as if the cameras are always on him to see what he's doing because of who he is, how much money he has, and the type of drugs that he's put in his body to enhance his performance. So at this point, dude, you got to get better advisors. You got to shut up. You got to donate $100 million to Little Sisters of the Poor. You got to do something. You
see, but what
something.
Jimmy just said was on point, because this reeks of, you know, somebody fixing this whole situation, because he walks out, you know, curses everybody out, walks out, and goes straight to the radio station. So he's being advised,
yeah,
to do this. And he goes to the radio,
yeah,
station.
That's why I said
and, like,
change the advice.
Unequivocally denies using PEDs this time around. Of course, you know, he wasn't under oath at the radio station because, you know, dude's not a judge or anything, or a Senate committee or anything like that. But, you know, he denies it this time. So somebody set this whole
change
thing up.
Change your advisors.
You know? Somebody's poping this dude, and,
yeah,
and he went,
yeah,
down there to do that. But like you said, A-Rod is really not that sympathetic of a figure these days. So I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see what comes out of, you know, that whole situation where he leaves there and goes straight to the radio station to basically plead his innocence. So we'll see how it goes, and we'll see if he's back on the field. He said he loves the Yankees. He loves New York. He loved that money. But there's a big fight going on this weekend. Manny Pacquiao back in the ring after he played a game of knockout a few times. He's fighting Brandon Rios. Now, the tail of the tape of this fight, I got that right here. Okay, of course, you got Manny at 34 years old. You got Brandon Rios at 27. Manny 5'6", Rios 5'9". Manny's reach 67 inches, Rios 70 inches. Manny's a southpaw, Rios orthodox, and they're fighting at 147. Pacquiao's 54-5-2. Brandon Rios is 31-1-1. Now, I don't really know how contentious it is between the actual fighters, but their camps did get into a little something recently, because
and
Macau, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that city right, they had to share a gym. So for some reason, you know, Manny got the bulk of the use of this facility, but Rios and his camp were supposed to use it from 9 to 11 in the morning, and then Manny can use it from 11 to 5 p.m. That don't even sound fair. So Rios' camp were doing interviews. You know, ESPN came to talk to him and everything. So that made them late for their session, about 20 to 30 minutes late that they actually got into the gym. So when Manny's camp got there, mind you, Manny wasn't even there with them yet, But Freddie Roach and the gang came in, and they were still sitting around doing their post-interviews to their training session. And Freddie Roach goes over there because they run like 20 to 30 minutes over since they came in 20 to 30 minutes late. So he goes over there, Roach goes over there, starts disrespecting people, telling them to get out. They're telling him, get the F out of here.
Yeah.
Roach tries to walk up on, what's the name, was it Garcia?
Man.
He tried to walk up on Robert Garcia, and he swift kicked him right in his chest. And the whole thing broke out.
You can't kick Freddie Roach, man.
If he walk up on you.
For those that didn't see the footage, if he didn't, like, sidekick him, he push kicked him, meaning that he lifted his foot up. And he kicked him with the bottom of his foot and pushed Freddie Roach back
like
yards.
one of them kicks you see when somebody's trying to come on stage at a Drake concert.
One of them,
and Drake sends his security over to get him off, like one of those kicks.
Yeah.
No, he push kicked this
man.
But instead of having to kick
that,
down, you know, he had to bring the foot all the way up, and just, he kicked him dead in his chest.
Freddie kept talking his trash, and then dude started disrespecting Freddie again by imitating him stuttering.
Oh, yeah. No.
See, but Jimmy, he kept talking his trash, but the kick kind of put him at bay because he was talking his trash from farther over in the room.
He was talking trash, but he was telling
security to call the police. That's assault. He kicked me in my chest. Freddie, if I didn't see this.
After he got kicked. He just wanted to argue.
Now,
if I didn't see this, I would think, like, my first reaction would be, like, be awesome. Like, oh, man, you can't kick Freddie Roach in the chest.
You
but, you know, Freddie Roach,
Freddie Roach,
be trying to be a little tough sometimes, man.
He was going to walk up on the dude.
So what is he supposed to do? Freddie used to box, you know what I mean? So
Freddie is now the equivalent of like Michael J. Fox or something.
No, he's not.
Can't kick.
No, because you see him training, he still be having the pads up. He still get it in like Freddie.
No, not the same.
It was just like
man.
Before you came on, man, in our little, you know, in our intro, Jimmy and I were talking about, you know, the kids in Jersey playing knockouts. And then sometimes, you know, if a dude walking up on you, even if you don't know if it was innocent or not, sometimes you got to swing. So,
be awesome.
You know, dude picked up his
be
foot
awesome.
And
like
tried
I told
to murder
earlier,
Freddie.
In the words of the great poet Albert Prodigy Johnson, yo, it's about who see who first.
Who see who first, yeah.
And here's the thing, though. Just my quick synopsis when watching this whole thing. In terms of the fight, I think that Pac-Man, and I was just talking about this with John Ryans, our boxing MMA writer, and look out for him. He's shooting some video content that should be on War Room Sports TV to give his little prediction about this fight.
WarRoomSportsTV.com.
Yeah, what he said. And the thing is, Pac-Man, like, after suffering knocked out that way, we have to see with how he's fighting now, how his confidence is, and whether or not he's recovered from that. Also, I know that HBO is doing everything in their power to try to sell this fight. Me and Dev were talking earlier about how Showtime is, like, destroying them in the boxing now. So
killing them.
So now I'm starting to think maybe that whole thing with Freddie Roach was set up. Like maybe they set that up.
Nah.
Anyway, you never know.
I don't put it past a setup. Like as far as saying, go in there and stir up the pot a little bit. But Freddie ain't know he's gonna get his ass kicked like that.
Yeah, they ain't set that kick up.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't in the script. Listen, man, it is though, man. I mean, you guys watching the fight?
I'm not paying for it. We can find somewhere to go.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for it.
Shout out to the internet. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. I mean, it actually might be a good fight because, you know, Brandon Rios, he usually gives the people what they want to see. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to back down. He's going to want to go toe-to-toe with people. But I don't know. Even every time we say that about people, they still go in there and have, you know, the stare off, the Kodak moments and is not excited, not as exciting as we think it's going to be. Now, if I don't find a place to watch this and I miss it, then that's when everybody's going to be blowing up my text or my Twitter telling me how good this fight is and, damn, why you not watching this. So I'm going to try to find somewhere to watch it. I just won't be paying for it myself. MLS news. LeBron James and David Beckham are in talks to bring an MLS team to South Florida. Now, they've had one before down in, like, Fort Lauderdale and it didn't work, but I assume they'd be bringing this one straight to Miami. You know, Fort Lauderdale and Miami are right there next to each other, but I'm sure this one would be a Miami team. Beckham has some kind of option that expires, I don't know if it's at the end of this year or sometime within the next year, where he can try to bring an expansion team into the league for just $25 million. I'm saying just.
That's just
in comparison to other sports.
That is lightweight.
You know.
That's
what I'm saying. In comparison to other sports, it's definitely lightweight. So he has that option, and he and LeBron are in talks. Because, you know, LeBron already has a stake in Liverpool. So he claims that he's really interested in the sport now. He's learning more, and you know this is another venture for his portfolio.
$25 million to bring a team in. Does he have the same agent as J.R. Smith? Like, how did he get that deal?
I was about to speak to that. I know you guys are probably aware of this, but when David Beckham signed with the LA Galaxy, the owners of MLS and the LA Galaxy got together and they went to God and the devil and put together a deal that they could offer to David Beckham. They said, you can have our children, you can have the state of Florida, you can have anything that you want if you will come and play in the U.S. We know that you ain't ish anymore, but we'll pay. So they ended up actually getting a sponsor to pay $60 million out of that $100 million. But all that being said, the short end of the story is that's part of his option that he signed with the LA Galaxy, which was actually not just a deal with the Galaxy, but a deal with MLS, which allows him to, when he retires, to own his own franchise and get in at a low rate. So $25 million to set up a franchise is lightweight.
Yeah, because they said his option is at a discounted rate. And the rumor is that it does expire at the end of the year, so pretty sure where he and LeBron are saying they're just having preliminary talks, just throwing some stuff around.
I would believe they're deeper into
the process than they're saying.
All right.
They are.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm gonna keep it 1,000. Like, I could really care less about the MLS. I tried to get into soccer, but I just can't. I'm a hoops head. So when I saw this, the first thing I thought is, like, I wonder what this will do with LeBron and his upcoming free agency. Like, does this just solidify that he's staying in the area if he's going to bring a professional team there?
No.
He can get his direct deposit from wherever. So
that's the first thing that came to my mind. Just wanted to bring that up real quick.
All right, then let's get Fred Perdue on from Heavy in the Game so we can talk a little bit about this Jameis Winston situation. So we could talk a tiny bit more about this MLS thing until Jimmy gets that all together. Or actually, let's just jump into the Jameis Winston thing.
Yeah, let's talk about Jameis. Don't stop. Just give it here.
Yeah, and Fred can just jump in once he gets on the line.
Let's just bring Fred on right now. Fred Perdue from Heavy in the Game. Fred,
what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Nothing much.
We know everybody's doing better than Jameis Winston right now.
Yeah, when you got your media hat on, when you got your objective analysis hat on, you know, you're a college expert. We all know that. But when you got your fan hat on, you know, you're a fan of the U. So this whole thing is happening.
NBA basketball.
This is happening from one of your Florida rival teams, Florida State University. But, you know, the latest in this whole situation, what came out before the whole DNA situation was that the alleged victim was initially reluctant to cooperate with police because one of the detectives told her about, you know, possible ramifications of her talking about this. And, you know, they didn't really go into detail about that, but I'm assuming he was warning her, like, you know, this guy is a famous football player, so even if you're telling the truth, you know, there are going to be a lot of people out there who are going to make the victim into the villain. So I guess they were trying to get her ready for that, and that kind of caused her to just choke up and not want to say anything. But now, you know, they've taken DNA samples from Jameis Winston, and, you know, they matched what they were trying to match it to. So, Fred, what's your take on this whole thing? Talk about this for a minute before we get into the big game of the week.
Well, I have to say, I had a small stint as a student at Florida State, and I will say it is a football town down there in Tallahassee, and they love their football. The city is completely dead once football season is over, so they are right. It is a football town.
Tallahassee, huh?
I've heard, and really just talking to a lot of fans, talking to just a lot of people, I've heard everything from Rape State University to don't really let a boy do what a girl do at a girl's school. Don't let boys into a girl's school. I've heard everything. It's really compelling because the backstory on Florida State, for those that don't know, Florida State was a all-girls school before they allowed the football team and all of that kind of stuff. Bobby Bowden came in and helped them win and let them be number two for 14 so-called years, 14 years of being top five. That, to me, is just being number two. But nonetheless.
Number two. So who was number one?
Are you saying that because of your love for the
U? Your affiliation?
I have zero affiliation with the U right now. I'm being completely objective. But really and truly, guys, no. This story has so many layers. And for me, I look at it like this. Jameis Winston, if he was the culprit in all of this, they should, one, bury him under the jail. They should be looking at Jimbo Fisher as well. Simply put, Jimbo Fisher says that he has been talking to Jameis Winston. He has been his confidant. He has been everything to him, almost like a father figure to him since he's been there. So I would expect that Jimbo Fisher would know a little about this. And to make this situation go away one whole year ago and for it to come back up because media members were making it go, were really snooping around, it didn't just magically come back up. It didn't. And for a detective working for the Tallahassee police, those same police that say they are working to serve and protect, to tell you as a female that has been put in a situation like that, this is a football town and you should not say anything because this guy is famous. While he was on the practice squad, he is a redshirt freshman. At that point in time, he was sitting behind EJ Manuel, who ended up being a future first-round pick. But he was a freshman on the practice squad. For you to say that really puts the integrity of the law at a very bad.
Kind of suspect. Criminal justice system in Florida.
Well, listen, because Florida State has a rule: if you're charged with a felony, then you're automatically suspended from the team. He hasn't been charged, but I think Florida State has to start thinking ahead, just in case, about life without Jameis Winston. Now, Fred, what impact do you think it has on the team and even his Heisman hopes? Let's say he still gets to finish out the season, up to, when they're going to vote for the Heisman and all that kind of stuff. Let's just say he plays enough to stay in that vote legitimately. Do you think, one, this whole thing, even if he's not charged, do you think voters are going to have this in the back of their minds when they're voting for the Heisman?
Most definitely.
After that, we'll talk about the team. You think so?
Most definitely. Simply put, first off, we'll break that down a little bit. Florida State, their plan is a little muddy right now because going up against Wake Forest, their backup quarterback, Jacob Coker, he actually injured his knee, and he'll be out the next spring. So actually their third-string quarterback, who I did a little digging on, Sean McGuire, who ran a wing-T offense, which film I've seen, he does not look capable of throwing a football. And granted, your ability to throw the football can change in two or three years, but you're the third stringer for a reason. And their backup option to him is a true freshman in Tony Franklin, who they wanted to redshirt, but if they have to burn that redshirt, Jimbo Fisher says he will. Now, going forward, yes, I think it will affect his Heisman candidacy. simply put, with the whole Johnny Manziel thing, which, by the way, Johnny Manziel has been very quiet this year. You have not, outside of his output on the field, you have heard nothing about him. So yep. He's kept his head down and really just let Jameis Winston take all the spotlight.
Right.
So Johnny Manziel learned. But because of the way his situation worked out, voters are going to really look hard and say, do we really, really want this guy representing our trophy? Because unlike the original definition of the trophy, which is the best player in college football, the definition
is a popularity contest.
It has changed from the best player on the best team to the best player with the best character to the best player with the best stats to can't be a defensive player because there's only been one defensive player, and that was Charles Woodson, who also played offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
so many definitions.
It's a popularity contest, and I think in today's society, with the way social media is and everybody's really a reporter, it's really about being guilty until proven innocent, and they're not going to take the risk on putting his face everywhere with a Heisman Trophy and him being risking being found guilty. So I think folks are already making up their mind now.
Yeah, they're not going to want to take it back like they did with Reggie Bush, and his stuff wasn't nearly this egregious.
Right.
One more question,
Jim,
before you get that in.
Okay.
I just wanted to get Fred's take on the impact it'll have towards the team because, like he said, their backup quarterback now is really their third-string quarterback. So even if they stay undefeated, like, will the voters put them in a national championship matchup against Alabama, you know, with, like, this? Now, this question I'm asking hypothetically, if he does get suspended and they're undefeated, are they going to put a Florida State into the national championship game against Alabama with a third-string quarterback? Or, you know, will that have something to do with the voting when it comes down to it? Will they let Ohio State jump over them, you know?
Realistically, I think yes, because Florida State defensively is good enough to completely obliterate the rest of their schedule, which is Idaho this week, Florida, the Florida Gators next week, as well as the ACC title game, which could possibly be Duke, more than likely, Virginia Tech, if somehow Duke loses, and a very, very big long shot, the Miami Hurricanes, if Virginia Tech loses to Virginia and Duke loses a game at some point the rest of the way. It's a very long, big-time long shot, but those are the three possibilities. And Florida State defensively, I think those teams can – that team in Florida State can really – they can suffocate teams regardless, and they still have a running game. And that is – you can take your running game anywhere. So that is what gives Florida State the upper hand. They're a well-balanced team. They choose not to run the ball as much as they should. I've really been banging on Jimbo to say, hey, man, run the ball a little more. Stop putting it all on your freshman quarterback. Just because he can do it, don't do it. And now this is why, because things like this can happen. See if your team can run the football and dominate on the ground with a game manager at quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, my question is this. The only question I have is, in the future, what will this do for his NFL draft stock? Because you know how they some of these GMs will, like, go back, and if you did something in fifth grade, they won't draft you or pass on you, and you know. So
like you're running for the presidency instead of trying to get a quarterback job.
Well, if he's in jail, guys, I don't think he'll be able to be drafted. But, you know,
true.
This is true.
But realistically, I think regardless, if he comes out of this clean somehow, I don't think teams will really – they'll look at it, but they'll also look and they'll dig a lot deeper. Talking to a few NFL guys behind the scenes, talking about Johnny Manziel, it's not about – it's also about his physical ability, but it's also about everything he's done on the field. And you compare that to a guy like A.J. McCarron, who really hasn't had any problems off the field. You say, would you risk that upside? And some teams are willing to. But some teams are just not willing to put up with the headache that Johnny Manziel presents, even with the upside that he could bring. He could be a possible Russell Wilson type if he focused in and didn't do all the – if he did all the little things. He could be that type of player, but he could also turn out to be a guy like Ryan Leaf, where he's just a head case and he's just all out of control. Because right now
he's
quiet.
But you know what, though?
QB is face of your franchise.
Yes, you don't want that as your
face of your franchise. And everything is about branding, so now they take that into consideration rather than
the ever since the Pac-Man Jones situation, teams are going to look in your background. And I honestly, I've seen it complete from the Dez Bryant situation. I have no problem with that because I'm making a multi-million dollar investment. If you're making a multi-million dollar investment, I'm going to ask you, was your mother a stripper, your auntie, your sister, your cousin, your brother?
Fred, hold up, because we're running behind now. Before we get out of here, just give us, what is your game of the week? You know, I know you got to get to the strip club. I see you talking about strippers. So, and you are in Florida. You are in Miami. So
not on the King of Diamonds, man.
So what's the game of the week this week, Fred?
Well, speaking of Johnny Manziel, we have the LSU Tigers hosting the Texas A&M Aggies. Johnny Manziel's been looking really good. Actually, he's on pace to really be about where he was last year. Rushing yardage-wise, he won't be, but – How many players do you know have in a back to back years have 1,400 yards rushing? But
so who do you have in this game though? Who do you have winning the game?
I have Texas A&M pulling out a slight squeaker. LSU at home is hard to beat, and they are 4-point favorites. But their defense hasn't been where it usually is every year because they keep losing. They've lost so much talent. Their offense is pretty good. When you have a guy like Zach Mettenberger, you have a guy like Odell Beckham, you have a guy like Jarvis Landry who's really had a good year as well. But when you have to go toe-to-toe with Johnny Manziel, it's very tough. And LSU has a big advantage at night, but this game is during the day. So this is a big-time game for them. And right now, LSU is really at the bottom of the SEC West, and they're at 7-3. That just doesn't sound right for LSU.
The thing, though, let me ask you this last question before we get you out of here. We know that Johnny Manziel is having – it seems to be under the radar, although it's not. It's kind of weird. Do you think they would possibly give him the Heisman again, even after everything that happened in the offseason?
I personally think – I don't think they will. They'll try every way possible not to, simply because of all the things that happened. But ultimately, he's going to go to the NFL anyway. So it really wouldn't be on them. It's the integrity of the trophy to them, and that's really going to be the deciding factor. I am struggling right now between Johnny Manziel and A.J. McCarron for my number one spot. I came into the year with A.J. McCarron at the top. But Johnny Manziel, I don't like him off the field, but you can't deny him on the field. You just can't. You can't.
He's a better college player.
All right, but Fred, do us a favor. Tell our listeners how they can read some of your work at college and also how they can get in touch with you online because you live tweet a lot of the games.
Well, you guys can reach me at F Purdue Sports as well as at Heavy in the Games, HEAVYINDAGAMES. I'll be talking Saints Falcons tonight as well as I'll be talking about a variety of games on Saturday. We have the Miami Hurricanes going up against Virginia. I'll be tweeting that one out. A couple other games, but you got to check me out on Twitter. I'm always live, and I bring the conversation, guys.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, thanks for chiming in with us. We'll look forward
Heavy
to talking to you next week.
All right, guys.
We'll go from there. All right.
All right.
Brad,
all right,
over Fred,
take
planet.
It easy.
Yeah, that whole Jameis Winston situation going to be a doozy. I'm looking forward to see how it plays out. I hope the young man didn't do what he was accused of doing, but sorry.
Yo,
but,
man,
yeah, we got to move
crazy.
On.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
They do make one decision, changes your entire life.
Yeah.
True.
You guys, of course, check us out, warroomsports.com. If you want to call in and speak to us about any of today's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk.
Yes, it's time to talk about the National Basketball Association. This is brought to you by Fanatics. To find the best in your favorite team's merchandise, it's very simple. Go to warroomsports.com, click on the Fanatics logo, and go cop up. Just that simple. Listen.
Yeah, I was looking in Fanatics the other day. I got some stuff on the list that I'm about to cop up. They got a sale going on.
Listen, though. Yeah. Let's get into the NBA talk, and let's talk about the players of the week.
All right. NBA players of the week for this week. LeBron James and Blake Griffin of your Los Angeles Clippers.
You said Blake Griffin, right?
Yeah, you got upset after that fight.
We say Blake, we got to give him his theme music real quick, yo.
I'll read it while I was on. Blake Griffin helped the Clippers to a 3-0 week.
In my room, sometimes I stare at the wall,
averaged 25.7 points, 11.3 rebounds, 4.7 assists, and a steal per game. He did the thing this
All
week.
All the tools are there.
Yeah, they beat Oklahoma City in that 3-0 week. And, of course, LeBron James, your reigning MVP, he averaged a league-best 34 points a game. The Heat went 3-0 last week. He shot 70% from the field. Come on, LeBron. Stop playing.
Yo, LeBron goes through some week show where it just looks unfair.
The crazy part
and
about
that,
it,
and
though,
those,
he,
and those
he
are
shot.
The weeks when he decides. That's a decision.
Listen to this, though.
With him.
This is only a three-game stretch, but he shot 70% from the field, which was only fifth in the league. So people are filling it up so far this season. He shot 63% from three-point and 81% from the line. 81% from the line is really good for LeBron James, but it was a three-game clip. Let's not get carried away. He had 39 against Dallas the other night. And those are your two players of the week. Blake Griffin, LeBron James. Salute. Shout out to
y'all.
Now, B. Austin,
you said he just makes a decision and that's what happened?
No, I said LeBron does this when he decides to do it. So there are some weeks when he's, like, taking a week off, and then there's other weeks where he's like, let me remind y'all, you know, who the best player in the world is. It is almost unfair.
He probably
is attributed to Dwayne Wade. Well, it's Dwayne Wade being out, so he's had to pick up some of that load. They don't want to depend on Ray Allen's behind, to, you know.
James Jones.
Yeah.
Even though he played pretty well last night. Coney.
So what?
All right, gentlemen, I have a question for you. Dirk Nowitzki has passed Reggie Miller for 15th. On the NBA scoring list, and he's only 42 points behind Kevin Garnett. In terms of foreign players, where does Dirk rank in terms of all-time?
All-time greatest. Easy, hands down, no question. Dresden Petrovic, unfortunately, may he rest in peace, did not live, or that may be different, but it's Dirk, hands down.
Okay. So what do you think?
Unless you count Kobe as Italian.
I don't know, man. Serge Ibaka is nice, but it's like, that's a loaded question because you got to think about the history of the league in 20 seconds. So just right off the top, I would have to say Dirk Nowitzki. And remember, you know, we reported last week, you know, he just passed Jerry West last week, so he's passing a dude every week. I'm pretty sure we'll be reporting next week that he's going to pass Garnett because Garnett's not scoring like that anymore. I think he has some injuries where he might miss a game or two. He's gonna lap Kevin Garnett, so he's gonna move up again in a week. And 42 points, he might get that in one or two games.
Yo,
so
Garnett don't even
shoot
no more. He just got
that
set pick. He's like one of those dudes that just want to go out to play for the sake of playing.
Plus Brooklyn
is
in disarray right now because Garnett's point guard is out with a foot injury. His coach is already on the hot seat after just a few games, but they're saying Kidd doesn't do anything. They're like, he doesn't coach the offense. He doesn't coach the defense. They say
he's just very happy to be here.
Exactly. So, yeah, I would agree with B. Austin on that. I'd say Dirk for now, but if I think of somebody else, then.
You say without looking. I mean, so, of course, Drazen always comes to mind. It's sad, yo, because Drazen was so nice, but we got robbed, man. Because I thought Drazen would give Mike that work.
Like, yo, I ain't even going to lie. Drazen was that dude. And he did give Michael Jordan some work.
But I think even had his career played out and Dirk is doing what Dirk is doing now, he probably would still be above Drazen in that. But Drazen, he was nice. Like, because it was different seeing that back then. You know, you didn't see a lot of dudes from Lithuania just come in, you know, giving out 30
dudes
point
when
night.
They like washed up, flabby and sick. Because according to all accounts, Arvidas was that dude.
Arvidas was the truth. But the thing with Drazen is he had like four different things that made you not be able to check him: his J, his handle, and he stunk. So Cass didn't want to get close. And he just
yo.
Yo, he had the Euro pits. Come on, man.
Yo, man.
Yeah.
So
he
I mean,
smelled. He yo, was, he smelled like man. European airport.
Yeah, the greatest. But by the way, yo, those
European,
that travel,
European
you already know what it is.
Smell like hoagies, like old onion hoagies
yo,
left out, not refrigerated.
European airport smells like a homeless woman's tank. Like, it's just terrible. But, yo, listen, though.
Shout out
the greatest foreign player. Yeah, the greatest foreign player of all time is Oscar Schmidt. We just never really got a chance to see him play. But, yo, go look up Oscar Schmidt. Oscar Schmidt is the all-time leading scorer in professional basketball history.
Oscar Schmidt was the shit. He didn't do it in the NBA.
No, but when they tried to test him and said he couldn't do it, well, because he said, I ain't got to go over there and play. I got these beautiful women over here, and I'm making a bunch of money. But when they went against him in the Olympics, he let them know, like, yo, he go 85
yeah,
for you, right?
Yo,
here.
Yo,
I'm going to
give you
85.
Yo, he was like the Pee Wee Kirkland of Europe.
Yo,
yo, there you go, Dad. the Brazilian Pee Wee Kirkland, man.
From
take
all
this 85 and go back to the States with it.
Yo, he was giving them out that Brazilian fish scale at the Olympics, though. I did hear.
Anyway, man. Yo, with that being said, shout out to Dirk, man. Listen, it's another interesting streak going on right now. Kyle Korver, or Kyle Kutcher, whatever you want to call him, has 85 straight games with a 3-pointer. Dana Barros holds the record with 89. So the question is, will Korver break this record?
Four more games. He plays for the Hawks, so he's going to get pretty good minutes. I say he's going to shatter the record unless he gets injured in the next four or five games. I say he's going to shatter the record, you know, take it to the toilet, shat on it, put it out of reach. Yeah, he's going to get the record. My question is, like, when is he going to stop? Like, what is he going to set the new bar at? Dana Barros, this is probably the last thing you have that will have your name brought up in NBA circles. So sorry.
Yo.
But in about
Dana
five
Barros,
games, you'll never hear the name Dana Barros again.
Yo, Dana Barros was my homie. And I messed with Dana Barros, but my bad, dog. Sorry. Kyle Korver is probably going to go for about 103 straight. Just because he's in Atlanta, and what else can he do? I mean, they depend on him and Matt Carroll. So,
So, you know, shout out to Kyle Kutcher to get his name
in the
record book.
Shout out to Dana Barros, because you was nicer than Dev is saying. You was all right for a little minute.
He was holding the Sixers down before AI got there. He was AI before AI.
No, he went AI.
He was AI before AI. Said,
he was,
said
he
no one AI. Ever. said no
said
one ever.
No one
all right,
ever.
Kobe Bean Bryant is close to returning. So the question is, what do you think Kobe has to offer this season? I mean, do you think that you'll see him take a step backwards? Because we haven't seen it, but it happens to everybody.
I think we have to. I mean, they're basically ruling him out of tomorrow's game, but they're saying – the coach went from saying, well, we'll probably play a bunch of games before he comes back, to him saying we'll play a few games before he comes back. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen any practice footage or anything like that. But what I have seen is quotes from his teammates. I've seen his teammates being interviewed. And for a guy whose detractors always say people don't like playing with him and this and that, yo, those dudes look so giddy. Talking about Kobe returning, like I saw Steve Blake, who couldn't stop smiling. He looked like Mike Winchell from Friday Night Lights.
I bust Steve Blake ass.
I saw Steve Blake. Nice. He crazy.
I said I did.
Oh, you said you did. I thought you meant you would now.
No,
that's over.
No one ever.
You know, Powell was talking about him and their little off and on relationship. He seemed giddy. So, you know, I'm judging by the smile factor here. Like, he must be doing some good things in these practices because his teammates seem really giddy about their prospects when he gets back. But I just think, because it just happened at the end of, in the beginning of the playoffs. Right before the playoffs. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. We'll have to ask Dr. Monique Roll. But, how effective could he possibly be coming off an Achilles that soon? So
I see 24 points per game.
No
defense. Four rebounds. No defense. No, none. 24 points a game, four rebounds, five assists, no defense, and the haters being so uncomfortable that they'll find a way to point to the defense as why he's falling off. Because scoring, honestly, I don't think Kobe would come back to play in the NBA if he couldn't hang 50 up, and that's going to happen at least once this year just to prove a point. So I
understand what you're saying, but you got to understand that, these guys don't know when to walk away. They think they can always put up 50. Dr. J probably thinks he can come back right now and average about 25.
Well, let me ask you this, because he is.
Sonny Hill thinks Wilt can average 40 from the grave. So.
Yo, they think they can dig. He thinks they can dig Wilt up, and his bones would do it. But
I agree with
him. His bone did it to Sonny. No, I do think that guys hold on too long.
No human being can do that.
My fault, y'all. My fault.
Come on, man. He's the closest thing that I've seen to Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and I saw Michael Jordan as a middle-aged man put up 50. So I'm going to assume Kobe can pretty much do the same thing on the offensive side.
Michael Jeffrey ain't had no Achilles, though.
He ain't break his leg, though.
He ain't pop his Achilles.
That's
the factor, because if I would be right along with you, because, he's 35. He's not as old as his mileage would tell you he is. So I have no doubt that a healthy Kobe at 35 can hang a few 50s out there, but – that's why I keep prefacing this by saying I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how this is supposed to go down. I've seen a lot of dudes lose all kinds of explosiveness because of this. However, Kobe for a long time has developed, more of a perimeter game where he doesn't really have to do a lot of driving and stuff like that. He really just started getting back to doing that after the platelet surgery. Kobe's been mid-range jump shot man for the past – and post-up man
for
the past 5-6 years. So he just started driving hammering on dudes again after the platelet surgery. So we'll see.
Just to prove a point, he started going to the rack again. Look, this dude's mental and his mentality.
What point?
Are you
on HGH?
Yeah, exactly.
Proving that he was on
HGH. You went 5 years of being a old basketball player shooting J's. You go over. You get some HGH put inside your knee, you come back, and now you jumping all over the place comparing your hops to Xavier Henry's. I mean, I believe in the dude, man. I think you're going to see offensively pretty much the same thing. Defensively, we'll never see him do what he used to do.
Cool.
All right, well, here's my question, right? You gentlemen both live in the DMV area. Things just aren't good there right now in terms of sports. When you look at the Redskins and their struggles, and the Washington Wizards are also struggling. What's the reason for the Wizards? Why do Wizards stink so bad?
First of all, if people don't know, if you're not on the internet, you would know that this episode is called More Big Trouble in Little D.C. because we've actually had Big Trouble in Little D.C. discussions before. Before B. Austin tells you what's wrong with the Wizards, I think this sports town is cursed. And I don't want anybody that's listening from D.C. to be all upset with me because, I think the same thing about my town, my hometown, except until the Phillies broke through in 2008. But it seems like it was all good just a year ago. The Washington Nationals won their division. Their expectations went up to World Series. The Washington Red team won their division, and everybody expected them to make a big run this year. They're sitting at 3-7. We'll talk about them later. The Wizards didn't do jack last year, but when John Wall came back, they started to show some promise. They have a talented roster, so everybody and their mama picked the Wizards to be a team that surprised people this year and maybe got, you know, to the middle of the pack as far as playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. But it seems like whenever a team in this area has expectations, they struggle. The Nationals didn't make the playoffs. The Washington football team stinks. And the Wizards start, you know, they won two straight, you know, their last two games, but that only made them climb to 4-7. So now they're sitting at number 9, where they were sitting at like 12 a few days ago. So things are starting to look better. But B. Austin, why have they looked this way? Why did they start off 2-7 before these last two games? What's up with
them? It comes down to really three things. The first, John Wall, who I'm actually a John Wall supporter. Because I think, you know, folks got enamored with the point guard play in the NBA, and they just left him out to dry when Kyrie came in the league. But I think he's very talented, but he still has a lot to learn in terms of running a team, and especially where half-court sets are concerned. One of the things that you'll notice with young teams who have good athleticism, they love to run. They can thrive where they're playing tough D, and they get out on the break, and they run. When they get into the half court or they get with a team that can dictate the pace, John Wall becomes ineffective in the half court set. And they need him to be a pace setter, a tone setter, and run that offense in order for the other guys on that roster who cannot get their own shot. They're bereft with dudes that cannot create. Bradley Beal is getting better. He's my pick for most improved player, so I expect big things out of him. But he's a second-year player, and he needs a lot of work. And so having John Wall run the offense and initiate things and get shots for him would help him immensely. Same with Nene, same with Trevor Ariza, same with Martell Webster off the bench. So it all starts with John Wall. The second thing is I think they get a little frustrated when they get down, and the defensive intensity kind of slacks off. And so those are the two main things. And the third thing is I think that RG3's hair and the Redskins' performance have somehow infiltrated the water in the Wizards building, man. And, you know.
I mean, John Wall, I see the stuff that you're saying that he struggles with, because he's a speed player. You know, once John
right.
Wall gets to running, there's nobody who can really run with him. But he's playing pretty well, especially statistically.
Statistically,
he's averaging 9.7 assists and only 2.9 turnovers. And the game before last, he actually had a 16-assist game with only one turnover. So he is learning. There are games where he's going to be that player that they expected him to be. And it's no secret, you know, when he came back from injury last year, the team got much better. Where the problems lie, first of all, their big men are always injured. You know, Nene's playing now, but how long will that last? And, of course, they traded Okafor away. Bradley Beal, I agree with you there. He's very talented, but he's just a second-year player still trying to get his identity in the league. But the fact that, you know, there's a lot of teams in the NBA who have had slow starts, that's kind of like double-edged to me, because you would think, like, okay, the Wizards can get back into this, because at this point they're only, you know, like a game out of the eighth spot. And it's way too early to be talking about spots anyway, but they can get back into the mix, but then you still have other teams who are down that you expect to get back into the mix as well, like Brooklyn, you know, teams like that. So you're wondering how it'll all shake out and who's going to get the spots that they're supposed to get. But like I said, when these Washington teams get expectations, it seems like they go in
that's
the
when
other
they,
direction.
That's when they crumble. That's when they fold. That's a great point, too, Dev, about a team like Brooklyn. Although they're struggling early, by default.
We know they're going
to
be
all goes to hell in a handbasket. They're almost guaranteed the 5th through 7th seed. They're going to land 5, 6, or 7 because of who
yeah,
they are
unless,
and how
unless
long.
Jason Kidd is that bad, really.
Yo, Jason Kidd don't coach. He goes and meets with the older players on everybody's roster when they show up in town. But
and because that other team I was talking about, the New York Knicks, sitting at 3-8.
New York and Brooklyn are
3-8.
They are coming
back. But I still expect them to be in the mix for. I expect them to be in the mix for a playoff spot, even a low one. Because you think about it, you have the 76ers sitting at 7 right now, at 5-8, and you know the Sixers aren't going to the playoffs. No matter how much promise they showed early in the season, they're not going to the playoffs. You got Toronto
over there, yo.
Exactly, and you got Toronto holding the 4th spot at 5-7. I mean,
Toronto
that's because
they're wasting time.
So I really think. I mean, but that's only because. They're actually leading the Atlantic Division because the Atlantic Division stinks right now. So they're
like
leading
the
Atlantic Division, so they get that 4th seed right now by default. But that can easily be the Brooklyn Nets or the New York Knicks. They can actually win 2 games and go from like 14th and 15th in the conference up to number 4 because they're
terrible basketball.
But yeah,
some
the
bad
Wizards,
basketball.
The Wizards can't beat a team like Brooklyn, I don't believe, in a series. And I know that's far down the line, but I say that to say by next year, I just see Brooklyn pounding them out, not because they're more talented, but just they're old head professionals.
And yeah, but here's the thing. On paper, Brooklyn is tough. They should be a lot better. When you watch them play, though, and you know it does take time to gel, but they look terrible.
Yeah, they hold. There's a lot of ball holders. Pause on that team. That's
Paul Pierce,
the same way.
Number one.
Yeah,
I don't know what.
But Joe Johnson, Joe will waste the whole shot clock setting you up with his slow ass moves that do work.
But I'm not going to count the Wizards, the Knicks, the Nets. I'm not going to count them out of the playoff race. I mean, I'm going to count them out of being
somebody got to go.
Like, champions. Because I'm looking at who's up here. You got Toronto, Atlanta, Charlotte, Philadelphia, and Detroit making up 4 through 8. So exactly. I think the teams that are 4 through 8 right now are gonna swap with another 5 teams down low, and that'll probably be Washington, New York, Brooklyn, maybe Cleveland. They may be a little overrated at this point.
I think Detroit might end up staying.
Maybe Atlanta might end up staying, but somebody's
no.
At least 3 of those teams are going to get swapped out. So
I see
the Wizards competing for a 7 or 8 seed. I think that could happen if they improve markedly. I could see that.
Well, they should. Like
I think
said,
the NBA should just rearrange, and they should run their league like a rotisserie league. So we don't care about divisions no more. It's just like the top whatever teams make it to the playoffs, yo. Let's have a rotisserie league.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's get rid of Toronto just all together.
Peace, Toronto. Peace, Connecticut.
Peace, Connecticut. Just hold on. I'm coming home. Anyway, with that being said, man, that's what's going on in the NBA, man. Let's talk some football before we get out of here, y'all.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit of football. We've had a lot of controversy going on this week with the rules and the people not liking the rules, and we got a little bit of more on the bullying front. So let's talk some NFL. NFL Rap, as usual, is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Well, you can always hear it on Stitcher. We've been there for like a couple years now. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones if you still own those dinosaurs. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. You can just stream it. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website, warroomsports.com, and just listen or download it to your mobile phone directly from that page. Before you do, make sure you enter the promo code THEWARROOM, all one word, for a chance to win a cash prize. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. All right. What is going on in football? rearrange this a little bit. Since we started out with the Monday night theme, let's go to the Monday night controversy that we had. I'm sure everybody saw it. Carolina Panthers versus the New England Patriots. The Patriots with their last-ditch effort to win the game down 4, last play of the game. Tom Brady tries to throw it to Gronk in the end zone, and Gronk is mugged by Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly. Fellas, they threw the flag originally. They picked it up, didn't really explain to the people why they picked it up. Later they said it was uncatchable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think this was pass interference, or do you think the uncatchable rule indeed should have been in play here? Did the referees do the right thing?
It absolutely was the correct call, and it was an uncatchable ball. So let's actually get to the rules. Pass interference is only you can only make that call when the receiver has been impeded in getting to the ball. That's pass interference. That's pass interference. Now Jimmy gonna spout off, and he hadn't heard. Listen,
all right,
to
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Let you finish. No, I'm.
He
ahead,
let
go
me
go
get the defensive holding. So now, when you're talking about pass interference, is out of the question because that ball, there's no way. It's physically impossible for Gronk to get to that pass if there were no defenders there. So pass interference
is
out of the question.
How do you know?
Defensive holding, because I got common sense and I watched the game. What 280
pound man? No, what I'm saying is, how do you know how that is? So basically you're being subjective about his athleticism.
He's running across the end zone. The pass was behind him. How are you going to keep going? Stop running, turn around, levitate, and come back and
hit
the ball?
Listen, no. What I'm saying is,
then we get past the PI. So now we get to defensive holding. Defensive holding is the call where you kind of get a little bit of question because defensive holding isn't necessarily about the pass itself. That's about the defensive player putting his hands on the offensive player past 5 yards down the field. So you do have a case for defensive holding, but I still look at the pass being uncatchable. That ball was thrown more than 5 to 7 yards away from Gronk in the opposite direction from the way he was running.
I see. Okay, you want to go, Jim?
No, I mean, I just disagree. I don't like making the subjective conclusion about how whether he could get to that ball. Now, most of the time when balls are uncatchable is because they're flying out of bounds over someone's head. It's not right in the middle of play. The thing is, Gronk was being face guarded. He couldn't even come back to the ball to try to catch it. So, I mean, I don't want to judge whether he could or could not catch it. You have to call something there. You can't just mug someone and it's a no call. It's impossible. If it wasn't the end of the game, if that was the first quarter, they probably more than likely would have called something there. The fact of the matter is, it was the fourth quarter. The game on the line, and they didn't want to be the ones to decide the game.
They didn't
want to
decide
the
game. Yeah.
Exactly,
now,
I get that. But at the end of the day, a call is a call, man. If that was your team or if that was my team, I'll be pissed.
Now, I'm going to start off like this. First of all, I think, all right, let's take defensive holding completely out of the conversation because I think – the contact definitely wasn't made until the ball was in the air. I can go as far as to agree with you that there probably was no way at that point, because the ball was thrown short, that Gronk could have contorted his body and made the catch. However, I think Gronk could have contorted his body to at least appear to be making the play on the ball. I don't think it was so egregiously uncatchable that applied. And with the fact that the ball kind of landed right at the spot where Kuechly started to push Gronk out of the way. Now, like Jimmy mentioned earlier in the week, I don't think Gronk sold it and tried to, you know, even act like he was trying to get back to the ball, which would have made the holding look a little more egregious, which makes referees throw the flag all the time. But at the same time, I don't think, you know, I think it would have been a legitimate call, so I don't really think you got to go to Hollywood just to get a call that should be made anyway. I fully agree with you, Austin. I don't think he's, you know, Superman, and I don't think there was any way he could have made the catch, but I just don't think the ball was so far out of the realm that we could say it was uncatchable. Uncatchable is like so so finite. Like, uncatchable is when you can't even make a play on the ball. And most times
yeah,
they don't
that,
even
I
try because
ridiculous.
They know, like, there's no way I can even appear to come close to this ball, so I'm not even going to jump for that. I don't think it was in that room. I think it was passing
the They made a call. That's the fact. The fact of the matter is they made a call. So, like, he saw it, he called it, and they picked it up. I mean, that, to me, that's the travesty. Hmm. It's not like he just missed it altogether. He made the call.
Now, my only thing is, that's my belief, but, what I believe isn't strong enough, like, you know, for B. Austin to be on the other side of the table for me, like, this isn't something I would go back and forth with him about all day. I mean, I don't know if it's because, you know, I think it could have gone either way, or just that I don't care because it's the Patriots. But
oh, well, that's where I fall because I'm glad it happened. I disagree. I think they got cheated. I think it's a travesty.
I think
they got bamboozled. But I'm glad.
I think somewhere in there, Jimmy, I do kind of fall on the fence that it could have gone either way. But I'm definitely of the opinion that that was pass interference. I'm probably.
Oh, you made the call.
Upset.
You don't pick no flag up on a play like that. What is that? That's ridiculous. Yo, that's embarrassing, yo. That's just yo, right, that's almost as embarrassing as a replacement ref on Monday night. But at the end of the day, I'm still glad it happened.
For the listeners out there, if you're on our Facebook page, or if you're on Twitter, if you're in the chat room, or if you want to call in, of course that number is 323-410-0012. Let us know what
you
think.
That ball couldn't have caught that pass, man.
Let us know what you think, and I think we got somebody on the line, so we let the producers get at them. It was a crazy situation. It happened, you know. First of all, we still got to give props to the Carolina Panthers because, you know, there was still a great contingency of people who still really doesn't believe in that team, and they went there, even though New England aren't what they once were. You know, they're still a factor in this league. And I think Carolina proved something on Monday night. You know, they're beating teams. What's that, six straight? And then they're not just – they're like, we're going to beat good teams. We're going to beat everybody who comes in here. So,
yeah, and you know what? You got to give them – you got to give them credit.
I'll give them props for having a four-point lead at that point anyway because it was a desperation play.
Defensively, I think they're everything that's advertised. Little bit concerned about the secondary. It's not bad. I think the secondary is mediocre to maybe a little above average. That front seven is for real times two. Like, they
definitely
are for real.
So
when you get
let me go to the digital real quick because we got Tobias on the line because we got to move to another topic right after we get him off. Tobias, you're out in Phoenix, right? What's up, bro?
I just want to say roll tide, man. That's all I got to say. What's going
roll
on, though?
Damn tide. Roll damn tide. No doubt.
Hey.
Before you go, we just want to ask your opinion real quick. You can give it to us real quick about the Monday night call. What do you say, pass interference or uncatchable?
Ooh. All right, first, I do got to holler about Alabama real quick. But, yeah, I thought that was pass interference. But, hey, if that was a Raiders fan, hey, I bet Raiders fans were like, about time New England didn't get the call. But
tough
the
rule.
Worst call was a 49ers game Sunday night. Drew Brees is 5'10".
I was about to ask you that, too.
Five.
So
yeah.
no flag it's on like, that play. You wouldn't have thrown a flag on that either.
It would have been tough.
Okay.
Can I say this real quick? I just
what you want to say about that Tide?
I know everybody talking about Auburn, but I'll be – hey, no service academy who can't throw the ball is going to beat Alabama. I'll say that. And I'll say this real quick. Jameis Winston, this situation, people talk about the Heisman. Florida State may lose a shot at the national title because they may not get voted in. Someone, they may bump up Ohio State or possibly Baylor. Instead they may knock Florida State down because of the allegation.
And that's what we were talking about earlier. We were talking about that earlier, saying that if there's even a thought that he might get suspended and won't be able to play, the voters probably won't vote them in because they're not going to want to see a Florida State team without Jameis Winston, and they're not going to have a shot. They're going to get their ass kicked without Jameis Winston. So,
all right,
man. Kick with Jameis Winston.
I'll say this before I go. He's from my home state, and I kind of hope that it's not a charge. But if it is, if he did do it, hey, he got to do his time.
No doubt.
All right.
But you guys take roll. It easy, man. Roll time.
Roll time. Roll time. Roll time.
Thanks for your call. All right, so yeah, it's talking about that hit from Ahmad Brooks. He's actually been fined $16,000. We know Ray Lewis was saying if the young brother got fined, he was going to pay half of it. You got a promise from Teddy Bruschi and Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Game said that Brian Dawkins said that he got a strong $10 on it. So he got some help.
Strong 20.
But the fact is, he got some help with the fine, but the fact is, it seems like all NFL fans are up in arms about the fact that it was called and the fact that even after it was called, they still fined him because people figured once the league got a chance to go back and watch the slow motion replay, which was the funniest thing I've ever watched in my life, they figured that they were going to, you know, maybe bump it down and not fine them. What do you guys think about the fine?
I just want to talk the play itself, first and foremost. The only way for him to avoid that situation was for him to intentionally whiff on the tackle altogether. So that in and of itself kind of makes me sad that the NFL has legislated the game to a point where they just really don't want it played around quarterbacks. They don't want the game of football to be played around the quarterback. Like, it's cool anywhere else on the field except maybe a prima donna receiver. You know, you don't want to hit them too hard. But everywhere else, you can try and take the man's head off. But when we get around our quarterbacks, please.
They're cash cows,
Joe. Please.
I'm about to say the same thing.
Yeah,
I
get that. The fine was egregious. Roger Goodell should be utterly ashamed of himself. I thought it was a big gesture for Ray Lewis.
Everybody always
blaming
Roger Goodell for everything. They got to be made for everything, man. He don't make
Roger Goodell playing the CD game.
He probably laughed at Drew Brees, wave his American Express card around. And let us know he had an Amex, but yeah, it's sad, man. Sad.
All right.
Sad.
Let me spit my piece real quick, man. First off, shout out to Mojo. I see you listening to us in the chat room. We called you out there, so now you're listening. We appreciate it, Mojo. Anyway,
Mojo.
Shout out to Mojo. But listen though, I kind of disagree with B. Austin, believe it or not. With the whole Ray Lewis thing. Like, what was Ray Lewis? What's the point of doing that other than just like, you
no,
know,
no, that was corny. No,
he was preaching,
man. I thought it was corny.
Preaching. He wasn't preaching.
Oh, okay, you thought it was corny too. Oh, well, I disagree with you. I think Ray Lewis is corny, yo. FOH, Ray. And I'm a Ray Lewis fan, but yo, go ahead with
because he
could
have just said it. He had to pull that out of his pocket. And the thing was,
yeah,
he picked it right up. So he had it ready because nobody just keeps their credit card in their pocket and it's not a wallet or something. He just pulled it right.
American Express cut that check.
He's a weirdo. What's the point of you paying for him? Like, what's your connection to this young man that you're going to FOH, Ray? Yo, that's one. Two, I'm not going to lie. I think it was like a bad play and ever, but I probably would have threw the flag too just because he tore his ass up. And when you see Drew Brees get hit like that, you throw a flag just because, yo, Drew Brees got hit like that. Because I saw his soul leave his body and start floating in the air. I would have threw the flag too, yo.
Nah, that was terrible, man. And it was a game changing play. That play essentially won the game for the Saints.
But I'm of the thought that okay, the action is so fast on the field, I can see how the flag can be thrown. Now I don't know if those things are reviewable. I don't think they are. So I can see how the flag can be thrown, and you know the penalty is just out there. I just figured after watching it that there was no way after the league got a chance to review this that they were going to find this guy. But I guess they saw it as another opportunity to get some dough, and they went ahead and find him. But the clothesline definitely happened at his shoulder pad level, and that's kind of why his neck stretched the way it did, because he actually hit the shoulder pad, which jerked his body back and made his head go forward. And – yo, I've never seen that. That looked like a cartoon. That looked like something off an animated show where his neck stretched about 4 or 5 inches longer than it already was. I thought it was the funniest hit I've ever seen in my life in slow motion. But
yo, it was definitely terrible, yo.
Yeah, but
I would have seen the flag.
Yeah, I can't really say, okay, I'm mad at him for throwing the flag. I'm more mad at him for the fine, because you got a chance to review it, you know, a lot of times, and they still.
But do you
gave
think the fine was really egregious
really
in terms of dollars and cents? I've seen cats get fined for wearing the wrong socks.
No,
yeah, but I don't think he
should have
been fined anyway. I think the fact that they fined him was egregious. I don't think the dollar amount was egregious, but I just don't think he should have been fined. Like, you clearly
Listen, man,
see
the type
that
of
he
money,
hit him on
the
shoulder.
The type of money Ahmad Brooks is making, $16,000 doesn't even matter. They probably lose that at King of Diamonds when they play down in Miami. But
I never talk that way about football players. Even when they say they're making a lot of money, their money just don't seem as long as basketball and football and baseball players. So he hurt. Well, he cool because Ray Lewis, you know, pulled out his Amex. So so you know, it is what it is. All right, so. The whole Miami Dolphins situation, of course, we know that's still going on because the investigators are still investigating. The latest in that, Richie Incognito, he's expressed that he wants back in. Pouncey said this because Pouncey was out last week with an illness. He said he and Richie watched the game together at his house, and Richie wants to come back.
Yeah.
He actually supposedly had a hearing today because he's trying to get the Dolphins to either – bring him back. He's trying to recoup his money that he's losing and either get brought back or released so he can move on with his career if, you know, anybody else will have him. And I don't think anything that bad happened where nobody else would have him. But this whole thing has brought some new allegations of bullying out, you know, from back in, you know, some years back. Sean Andrews, the former two-time Pro Bowl linebacker, used to play with the Eagles, then the Giants. We know the problems that he used to have, but he said former Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb was, you know, sort of a bully. He said that McNabb used to make things up about him, and the most harsh one that he did, McNabb told people that he was gay. So people in the locker room was thinking he was gay, to the point where allegedly he stopped showering with the team. He wouldn't take showers with the team because he didn't want anybody to think he was looking at him. So first of all, do you guys believe Sean Andrews? I know how we all feel about Donovan McNabb as a player, but do you believe Sean Andrews? Because he's had depression and mental health, and making stupid rap songs.
Shock us, dog.
So I'm about to say shock him.
We waiting to hear the punchline. He's like leading us to the punchline.
We all know how I – all right, pipe down there, Sparky. We all know how I feel about Donovan. But to be honest, for a grown 6'3", 300-and-some-pound dude to be complaining about Donovan, it's not like Donovan can fight. We all know that. So if you didn't just – take him out behind the woodshed and bend his trash can up, I'm of the opinion that maybe it got to you because it was true.
Well, listen, see, I don't expect that to happen. Now, Donovan McNabb was the franchise quarterback. When he missed games, he didn't stand on the sideline with them. He sat in the owner's box with the owner. So you're not touching Donovan McNabb. I don't care what you're talking about. So that's not the part that I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I don't believe him because of that, because he didn't whoop Donovan's ass. Ain't nobody on that team going to whoop Donovan's ass. I'm just like...
It's just a convenient time for it to come off.
Why
one.
Now? Yeah, like, why now, first of all? Because, you know, everybody on that team, as Jimmy would say, used to take turns in interviews giving Donovan blumpkins, and now all of a sudden everybody on the team want to diss him and tell the truth, but it's too late. Like, your statute of limitations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need more
Y'all
people. But at the end of the day, here's what's funny about this. Because of Donovan McNabb, because of, like, how you see him, you know, how you see his teammates talk about him now and the way he carried himself, I could see Donovan being a troublemaker like that. But at the end of the day, if you weren't willing to come out and, like, put this out there then, you know, go away. Go that away. Like,
don't try to come out now and ruin this man's post-football career.
Yeah,
you know, if you had something to say, say it then. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't want to dismiss him like I keep saying over this whole bullying thing. I don't want to make the victim into the villain, but FOH, Sean.
And another thing, Dev, real quick, you said that you think that if the Dolphins were to cut Incognito, because I think that's what's going to eventually happen. I think the Dolphins are going to – here's my, this is my personal opinion. I'm not basing this on facts. I think everybody's out of there. Coach, GM, Incognito. I think we went to this move in a different direction. But I wonder. I'm not sure, but I wonder how easy it will be for him to get a job. Like, who wants to – because he's not that great of a player anyway. So I wonder, like, who's willing to put up with, like, what comes with signing him on your team.
Richie,
I mean, he's cool
Richie's
as offensive lineman go.
Richie's a good player.
He's okay. He's not like he's above average. I'll give him average to above average.
Damn. Right. He's not Jonathan. He's not Jonathan Ogden, but he ain't no slouch either. He's a good player.
I mean, I think
he's
adds value to a lot of definitely. He adds value to a lot of lines around the NFL. See, but my thing is NFL culture, the only reason he would have trouble is because everybody would be trying to be all politically correct. But I don't think anybody in the NFL sees bullying as a big deal.
That's
so for him not to get a job would be everybody being hypocrites and you know.
But I think that's just
going to
happen. I think honestly, if they could do it without, you know, they could do it somehow secretly without the world criticizing him, I think every team in the league probably would take him on their team. Based
like if they could just
football,
not give him a
like
job,
said, culture.
If they could just not give him a job, like they did Kerry Rhodes and
but no, Kerry Rhodes got blackballed. Yo, Kerry Rhodes got blackballed for rumors. I mean, although we've seen the pictures, but he got blackballed for rumors though.
And then
everybody
want to say that the twin got blackballed, but he just wasn't good. He won't get a job anyway.
Yeah, he wasn't good. Yo, Kerry Rhodes is better than probably about half of the guys playing in the
but
secondary.
But I
when
that, Jimmy.
When Kerry Rhodes last played, he was like the fifth best safety in the league.
There's no
reason for him to not have a job from a talent standpoint.
Well, because you can always go to age on these things. Like Richie Incognito, like offensive linemen can play until their mid to late 30s most of the time. He's 30 years old. So, I don't know. Maybe they can try to throw it out there and try to use the age thing. But, I agree with that. Like, because I agree with B. Austin that Richie Incognito is a pretty good offensive lineman. But then I also lean to Jimmy's side. I don't think he's that good to where they can't justify him not getting a job and try to act like it's something different than, you know, these allegations. So, I don't know. But
yo, because here's the thing, though, I've read something.
It's crazy
that
your career might come to an end over this bull crap, though.
About the whole Kerry Rhodes thing, and the excuse they were using with him is they were saying that he's asking for too much money. They tried to make it a financial thing as opposed to, you know, what it really is.
I want Kerry Rhodes to come out and say,
okay, I'll take less and then see what they say.
Yeah, he definitely needs to do that, but I could see that with him asking for too much money. I could definitely see that.
Basing it strictly on football, like you said, when last time he played.
Right.
Since we don't really understand bullies and bullying, and we only got a couple minutes left, let's talk about RG3. It seems like some things are happening in the nation's capital that we didn't expect to happen. We always document on the show about the idol worship of him in this area. And with his play lately and some of the things that he's been saying in the media, it kind of seems like his force field is lowering a little bit, like
the
chinks in the armor.
His Richard up, the foundation
it seems
is
like, crumbling. It seems like the love for RG3 isn't as unconditional as we thought it was because the newspaper guys have started writing negativity about him. The radio guys here in the D.C. area has actually stepped up and started being a little more objective and pointing out when dude is not doing too well. And the most surprising, the fans. If you go on some of RG3's social media spots where it used to be just a love fest with every single comment, people are actually going on him. Like, I've seen comments like, you know, you shouldn't be tweeting, you should be working on your accuracy and you should shut up and do this and stop talking to the media.
I know my brother B. Austin got some words to say, so I'll just be very brief. I just want to say to the cornball brother with the struggle braids that it's not all your fault, yo, because the team is just terrible all around from a coaching standpoint. The defense is just, like, atrocious. But he is making a lot of mistakes. He is coming off of an injury, so you have to give him that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I know in the war room, we didn't think he was as great as many people thought he was anyway. With that being said, it's not to say that he can't get to that level, but, yo, too much too soon. Let's see what happens long term. I mean,
I can't
but the struggle braids, I think that's holding you
that
back.
Himself.
So shout out to the cornball brother. Cut the struggle braids off. You might play better, but y'all can
you
watch
saying,
Field Vision on Warden Sports TV. But go ahead, Dev.
No, I'm saying I can't really give him the injury excuse because he wouldn't give himself the injury excuse. And
yeah, I get that.
The stuff that he's messing up on, I don't know how much it actually has to do with injury. It was
you're
the
like,
stuff that we –
You're like, what does
the
leg
got to
do with him overthrowing people by 40 yards?
Yeah, it was the stuff that we said last season that he still had to prove that people told us we were just hating and we were jealous and this and that. I remember even when we had Sam Shade on and he was all sold and I was trying to tell him, well, I think this is the year where he's going to have to prove that he can do more in the passing game from the pocket mid-range because they threw a lot of dinks and dunks and then play action to a lot of deep passes. I said I think he still has to prove what he can do in between, and everybody was sold on it, even though the Shanahans didn't really give us a big sampling of that last season. And where is he struggling right now? Mid-range from
in
the
mid-range
pocket,
pass.
Missing people
all
over.
I knew that Robert E. Lee Griffin III wasn't shit coming out of Baylor when he had no passing tree and playbook to work with. So you're not going to sell me that you're going to have a proficient NFL passer take over the reins of an NFL offense and be really that good based on the cerebral parts of the game if he didn't do that at the level he's coming from. So I knew he wasn't really that good, but he does have a flair. He has charisma. He speaks the King's English. He's very, very athletic, track-level athlete. And so they were able to devise an offense that mirrored what he did at Baylor, and they were successful with it, you know,
last season,
a little bit.
I think with the high completion percentage, which when you put in the contact, when you're throwing short and then you're throwing play-action bombs to wide-open people, you have to take that into consideration. I think that fooled people. I think the low interception ratio, I think that fooled people. But, when you're throwing at the line of scrimmage and making people run after catches and throwing bubble screens and stuff, there isn't a chance to throw a lot of interceptions because you're not really taking too many chances. All of that stuff fooled people. All of that means a high passer rating that's probably – it was a little higher than what his actual ability as an NFL passer, you know, should have been at the time. Now, I'm not saying any of this to say that he can't get there and he can't do this stuff. All I'm saying is he's a second-year quarterback, and
so
he's going
to
make these
Geno
mistakes.
Smith. He's
so,
not headed
to listen,
bump.
listen. He's a second-year quarterback, and he's going to make mistakes. This was a given. But the people in the Washington area were so enamored, they didn't think that these young player struggles were ever going to show their head. I think it's more on them not giving him a chance to be a young quarterback and make mistakes, and that's the reason why a few people are turning on him right now. And we even said that last year, and I don't think it's fair the kind of worship that they put on this guy last year, the kind of pressure they put on his shoulders because – like we tried to say then, and people were saying, you're just jealous. The faster, just as fast as they build you up will be the same speed they tear you down as soon as you start to struggle a little bit. He's
well,
a second-year quarterback.
I'm an Eagles
give him
fan,
a chance.
I got Nick Foles, so I'm not jealous.
It's time for us to get out of here, man. Last thing I want to say to the cornball brother is pop,
give
rock, fantasy, pop.
Give him
Robert
a chance,
after
Washington fan.
General.
Give him a chance to be a young quarterback, Washington fans. Get off his jock and let him make mistakes. Go ahead.
Yo, thanks for joining us in the war room, good people. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook, Twitter. Those that
Coward.
Called in, shout out to you. The ones we couldn't get to, call us back next week. Special thanks to Fred Perdue from calling in and talking some college football with us. Tune in next week, same time, same place, even though it's Thanksgiving. The hustle never stops. This is our fourth annual Thanksgiving show. We'll have a buffet of goodies for you from all around the world of sports, and we'll have a special guest co-host as we do every year. So until then, enjoy your weekend, enjoy your week, and, you know, check with us online and come back and see us on Turkey Day. WarroomSportsTV.com for the video content, Facebook, Twitter, you know what it is, at War Room Sports. As we always say, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
We be purling on y'all.
Stay in tune to Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarroomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cap, you better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.